and there's different tax credits and that sort of thing. So those are very common types of questions we get. You know, one question that always kind of surprises me is that when sometimes we sit down with people and they say, what can I do to get my tax bill down? And what I want to tell people is that you really want to kind of think further ahead. You know, you want to almost think a year ahead of what you can do to get your tax bill down, as opposed to maybe thinking about it after the fact or at the last minute. Your tax bill is a huge expense, and if you can kind of put some forethought into it, maybe you can save some tax dollars there.
I think sometimes we all get into a routine. Mine is always, as soon as I get my tax money back, I go buy my RRSPs for the next year. I've always tried to stay a year ahead. Rick, there's other ways, and this is what we talk about here, so you can get caught up with the broadcast, but it's not just RRSPs now, Rick, is it?
No, like, you always have to make a definition of what obviously the best result is for your money there, whether it's an RRSP or a tax-free savings account. And really, the big difference in an RRSP is just how you use that refund.
Right, and that's important as well. And what trends, I guess, or what tends to be the most common mistake that people make at tax time while we're on the same topic here, Peter?
Yeah, you know, there's I would say there's probably a couple things that people do, and part of it is actually some new rules by Canada Revenue Agency. There's very large penalties for missing tax slips, and it's very easy to do. You know, you get tax slips, T5 slips, or those T3 slips from your bank, your investment company, and sometimes it's hard to track all those. The Canada Revenue Agency has implemented pretty significant penalties if you miss a couple slips within a 3 or 4 year period. So missing slips can be very expensive. The penalties are 20% of actually the slip. It doesn't even relate to the tax. So it relates to the reported income. But certainly some people think that, I didn't make any money on an investment or a loss or whatever, so I don't really have to report it. Tell your accountant or the person preparing your tax, tell them everything that's gone on so they can understand and report everything, or at least, treat it correctly for tax purposes.
I was listening to a national radio show this week about finances, and they said that the one guy got on the phone and he said, I haven't filed for 18 years because I didn't make enough money. And the host was saying, well, then you're not eligible for a lot of tax credits. There's a whole bunch of reasons why you should file.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, there's the tax system is not just used for collecting tax, but it's also for providing, you know, government policy benefits to people as well. Whether it's GST credits or those kinds of things. So not filing you could be leaving free money out there.
A lot of these things can't be taken for granted. And Rick, I guess when you're starting off somebody with a plan at IPC Financial, you're trying to make sure that they have their ducks in a row as well. They come up with different questions, or I guess they assume things. There's a lot of assuming goes on from what I'm hearing in both when people are trying to invest and get a plan going.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people, well, I can't say a lot of people, but some people actually come in and they figure it's going to happen, in a half hour appointment, everything's going to get done. And it just doesn't happen that way. There's a lot more sort of discovery that has to happen, and then planning from there.
Because I'm into a business now, things have been a little bit different preparing taxes for me this year. And I thought, I wonder what the chartered accountants want. What do you expect done from people when they bring it in? Do you get people come in with shoeboxes and just throw you a whole bunch of stuff? My wife did a wonderful job setting up for us this year. But what would you like from people when they're getting their taxes done?
You know, I think that certainly we do get the proverbial shoebox, showing up at our front door. I just met with someone today who brought their information in, new client, and a lot of the times if it's a business, maybe it may be worthwhile to actually have a contract bookkeeper prepare the information and then give it to us in a more organized fashion. Probably be cheaper that way too. You really need to stay on top of it throughout the year, and I think that'll make things easier. Also, you'll have good information if you're making business decisions throughout the year.
Yeah, so. I guess they're paying for your time, so the better they're organized, the better.
You bet. Yeah. If they want us to do kind of the organizing the receipts, then yeah, we'll do that. But it's there's probably cheaper ways to accomplish that.
I guess you can't really say too much because it gets personal. But we're talking about a shoebox. What are some of the odd people you've had? or the odd situations with people bringing you their tax information?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with, certainly I'm the tax partner for the firm. So sometimes I have to go back and review very old documents about when properties were purchased, or understand family histories of when properties were inherited from, you know, grandparent to parent to child, and track that through. So yeah, sometimes you can get looking at some pretty interesting documents.
You probably end up learning a little bit more about the families than they know about themselves.
Well, you know, sometimes accountants are almost psychologists in a way, because you know that we know a lot about family dynamic, and it actually that's a very important element of any kind of planning we do. We need to understand the facts and objectives of a family situation before we can put a plan together.
We've talked about this too, though, Rick, because every person that comes to you has a different family element, and you have to know how that is, because everybody handles their money a little bit differently, don't they?
Absolutely. Every situation is unique. Every client is unique, and really, you have to develop something specialized for each particular person.
We're going to come right back. You're listening to The Long and the Short of It, a special tax edition. We're guesting here with Peter McIntosh from White Kennedy in Penticton. Raina Dawn will get you all up to date on what's happening with investment information through Rick David.
When it's time to get serious about how to invest, your first step should be a visit to Rick David at IPC Securities in Penticton's City Center building. The first thing Rick does is discuss and define your specific financial goals and needs. That first session will last about half an hour and won't be intimidating. Together, you'll create a plan that allocates capital and is inexpensive to operate. The final design will consist of investment solutions that will help you reach your financial goals for the short and the long term. In our modern age of high-speed technology, it's not hard to keep track of business transactions happening anywhere in the world. With daily fluctuations, and more importantly, what that means for your investments, it just makes good sense to have sound professional advice. Get the long and short of it with someone who's close by and knows the local market just as much as the international one. Rick David is just a phone call or email away. Set up an appointment, IPC Securities Corporation in Penticton. Rick David, your investment advisor in the 200 block of downtown Penticton, second floor of the City Center building.
Special edition of The Long and the Short of It. Peter McIntosh is in with us. It's nice to meet the people when they come in studio, because the listeners are thinking the same thing I am. Where did this guy come from? Where did he take his schooling? A bit about you, Peter, and how you got it to be a chartered accountant, or what led you that direction in life then?
You know, I grew up in Ontario, and I went to University of Toronto, and was working through my education, and actually there was the Chartered Accountants Association, Students Association, put on a presentation at University of Toronto, and they kind of it kind of laid out everything you could do with your chartered accountant designation. We're actually called chartered professional accountants now. There's a lot of interesting things you can do. So I continued on with my education to Wilfrid Laurier University, started working articling in Ontario, and then I wrote my professional exam and moved out to Penticton, and my wife and I not knowing a soul, and then we haven't left. We've just kind of stayed. Yeah.
It seems like White Kennedy is close to the community. I said before going on microphone that they're one of the main sponsors, the West Bank Country Opry. I guess you try and put your names on some things that are local, is that right?
Very much so, yeah. You know, we have offices, an office in Osoyoos, an office in Penticton, and an office in West Kelowna. And it's very important for us to be integrated into our communities and our business communities. Yeah, we feel that it's very important that we support the people that are also our clients.
Rick David, was somebody like Peter from White Kennedy here, are you generally on the phone every day to somebody who's a chartered accountant?
This time of year, you know, like we're getting a lot of the gain loss reports, a lot of that information the accountants are going to need. So this time of the year especially, yeah, I'm talking to a lot of people.
Questions coming in here. When does it make sense for a small business to incorporate?
This is a very common question we get, and there's a couple aspects to it that people need to consider. You know, obviously, you have to have a certain level of business income before you want to consider it, whether it's, you know, $30,000 or $40,000, that sort of thing. If you're earning business income and you're just spending it on your personal expenses, then it may not make sense to incorporate, because really a corporation is just an element of deferring tax A corporation has a nice low rate of tax. You pay tax in there, and if you're not pulling the money out of the corporation, then yeah, it'll make sense to incorporate. But another important element of incorporation is actually limiting your liability. A company, let's say you're in construction, a company will actually limit the liability that will flow to you as an individual. If you're not incorporated, then basically if you get sued, well, everything you own personally can be caught up in that lawsuit. So that's a very important part of the equation as well.
I don't know if it's fair to use an example. I'm going to, and if it doesn't work, we'll...